this is one of those scripture passages that perhaps we look at and go, why is our Lord telling us this story? Why is it here? What is he saying to us? And because if we look at it, it might not be very clear on first reading. Why is he talking about this dishonest steward, this guy who was a crook? He was not managing his master's wealth well. He was squandering it. It almost seems contradictory that he talks about this dishonest steward and then immediately talks about being trustworthy. Being trustworthy with small things and so on. So what is our Lord saying in this? What is he telling us? You know, let's look at what the parable says. You know, we've got this steward who knew that his life of ease was coming to an end. To be a steward meant he was responsible for the books. He was responsible for the care of the house, maybe other servants. He was responsible for the wealth of the master, for making sure that it was cared for. And it's an easy life. He doesn't have to do manual labor. He doesn't have to be out on the street begging for work, begging for money. He's got no worry about food, no worry about shelter, clothing. All that stuff is taken care of for him because of his work as steward. And now he's given that, he's going to have to give that up, or so he thinks. You know, and we can understand that. We don't want to give up the easy life. We don't want to give up the things that make our lives easy. How many of us right now are willing to get rid of electricity? Or air conditioning, or heating in the middle of winter, or a vehicle to drive instead, you know, walking everywhere? Of course not. We want to keep these things that make our lives easier and better. And we know it would be a great difficulty to go without heat in the winter, to go without a vehicle to get us where we need to go and haul what we need to haul and so on. We don't want to give that up. So we can understand this steward not wanting to give up his easy life. And so he thought about it and goes, you know, I've got a way that I can solve this. He figured out a way. He was shrewd. He was enterprising. He figured out a way that he could get on the good side of the debtors, of the people that owed things to his master. He knew how he could do it. When a steward took on a debt for his master, he signed that document, the letter, how much he owed. The steward would add his own portion. The steward's pay came from whatever he took in above what was owed to the master. So like in the case of the wheat, you know, 80 pounds, 80 measures of wheat. And the steward said, make it 50, because that 30, or sorry, it was 100, was 80 was owed to the master. That 20 was owed to the steward for his good. The same thing with the 50, portions, measures of oil. 50 of that was for the master, and the other 50 was for the steward to make the 100 total. Steward would keep that for his use, for his sales and whatever else. That was his pay. The same thing happened with tax collectors back then, by the way. One of the reasons why the Roman tax collectors weren't liked, other than being the Roman version of the IRS, is that whatever they owed so much to the Roman officials per person, whatever they collected above that was their salary, was their money. And so if, you know, the tax collector was told, you owe us $100 per person, so he would go out and collect his $100 per person. But then he would say to the person, yes, it's $100 plus $100 for my handling fees. Don't you always love that? You get handling fees. It's like that you don't have a choice for. But, you know, that extra $100 he would keep for himself. Of course, using modern currency. That was his money. And so that's why these stewards and these tax collectors weren't really well liked, because they could game the system to make themselves wealthy as well. And so the steward figured out, if I give my portion, I cut that out and make it so that these debtors only owe what they owe my master and not what I'm taking of it, I can get on their good side. They'll sit there and say, oh, hey, he did a deal for me. He worked this out to make it good for my benefit. Maybe I can help him out now that he's out of a job. So he could continue his easy life. He could continue to live the life of a steward, not the life of a ditch digger, having to actually work for a living. As our Lord says, for the children of the world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. The world is shrewd. The world is enterprising. And we can see that in our day and age when we look out there, and we look at the world, and they're preaching a gospel and doing a very good job of it. But it's not the gospel of our Lord. It's not the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel of materialism. It's the gospel of our culture, our society, what values they think are worth promoting, which often are in conflict with the Christian values, the Christian morals. And they're doing a very good job. They proclaim the message of, you know, of Tide, that you need to buy Tide Pods. That's the gospel of Tide that you need to follow. Or Lexus, that you'll be happy if you, the gospel, you'll be happy if you have a brand new Lexus SUV, and so on. They proclaim a gospel. And they are very shrewd and enterprising in proclaiming that gospel, because you hear it throughout the world. You hear it throughout the media. You hear it on social media. You hear it, you read it in the papers and see it on TV and everything. They're very good at proclaiming their gospel. We're not. Our gospel really doesn't get out. The gospel message of Christ really isn't out there. We're not as shrewd and enterprising as the world is. You have to go looking for the gospel message in many cases. You know, you might come across EWTN, which does a very good job, but it's one channel out of thousands that are out there. You might find some, you know, YouTube, there are YouTube sites that do a really good job of talking about the gospel message and proclaiming the gospel message, but they're one of millions of people that are on YouTube. We're not getting that message out there. Once in a while, there might be a movie or TV show that has the gospel message as part of it that actually gets a little bit of popularity. But by and large, we really aren't as shrewd and enterprising as the world, and we need to be. We need to be out there as shrewd and enterprising, seeking opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Now, our Lord isn't telling us to be as dishonest as the steward. In fact, he tells us the exact opposite. He tells us we have to be more honest than the steward was. As he tells us, the person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. We are to be shrewd. We are to be enterprising in proclaiming the gospel, but we are also to be prudent and honest in proclaiming the gospel. We're not here to sell the gospel. We're here to bring salvation to the people. That is what we are doing when we are proclaiming the gospel. We are bringing salvation to them and bringing them to our Lord, to salvation. So the question for us is, well, how do we do that? How do we be shrewd and enterprising and prudent and honest and all these things that we are called to be as Christians? And first and foremost, as everything we do as Christians, we need to pray. Prayer needs to be the first step of everything we do as Christians, whether it is here in the church or in our daily lives, at our jobs, at our homes, with our families, with friends, during our recreation. Prayer needs to be first, and we need to pray for others. Pray for those around us. Pray for those we know. Pray for those, as St. Paul says, especially those in authority, those who are in authority positions. St. Paul says, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. Now note that St. Paul says, we in authority. He's counting himself. He's asking for prayers for himself as much as he is for anybody else. When we're talking about those in authority, we're not just talking about civil leaders. We're not just talking about our mayor. We're not just talking about our county commissioners. We're not just talking about our governor, our senators, our reps, our president. We are also talking about those who are in religious authority. St. Paul was in religious authority over those Christians, those churches that he founded. He was their pastor, their shepherd. And so he is saying we also need to be praying for our religious authorities, our pastors, our bishops, our pope. So we need to be praying for others first and foremost. And secondly, we need to be always honest in our dealings with others. And what I mean by that is not just that we are not cheating them. I think sometimes when we think of someone being honest is, well, they're just not cheating me. It's seen as a negative. It's a negative of a negative, if you will, an opposite of a negative. When we mean being honest is that we are treating them, first of all, the way we want to be treated, but we are treating them to their face the same way that we treat them when they're not there. We are always honest with them. It's too easy for us to kind of fall into the trap of somebody upsets us, so we want to ruin their reputation. We gossip about them. Oh, this person, did you hear what they did? We do that all the time. We're not honest with them. We never say these things to them in person. Oh, but we'll do it behind their backs. And this is a terrible attitude that we can all fall into, a sin that we can all fall into, that can harm a parish. It can infect the community, the culture of a parish, where the parish, instead of being welcoming and wanting everybody to come in, good, bad, or indifferent, we want them to come. But instead of that, it becomes unwelcome. Oh, you're not welcome here. That person isn't welcome here. We don't want them here. You see that in parishes. Those who aren't the insiders are not desirable to have here. And instead of the faith being something public, it's private, it's individual, it's me and Jesus. I just happened to come here on Sunday with all these other people, but it's about me and Jesus. It draws us inward. It puts the focus on us as individuals. When we are dishonest with others, we draw inward. It's private. It's protected. It's not about the community. It's not about others. We need to always be truthful with others. Now, not being blunt about it, not using the truth as a club, because you can do that as well. That's the opposite problem. Just being a jerk isn't a good excuse for, you know, going after someone. We shouldn't be like that. We need to be honest, but we also need to do so out of love for our neighbor. And then third of all, we need to seek opportunities through shrewdness, through being enterprising, to proclaim the gospel, to bring the good news of the gospel to the world. That is our call as Christians. That is our call as baptized disciples of our Lord, is that we are seeking ways to proclaim the gospel. Now, I use the example of media, TV and YouTube and things like that, but we also need to be shrewd and enterprising in finding ways of proclaiming the gospel in our daily lives, in our interaction with others, in our daily interaction with those around us, our family and our friends, and so on. Again, as I said, corporations are very shrewd and enterprising in proclaiming their message. You probably think of a bunch of commercials that you just saw or heard recently that did a good job of, boy, I really would like a Coca-Cola right now, because that commercial made it sound so good. We need to be as shrewd and enterprising. That's why we need to be honest, and we need to be loving. We need to share the gospel out of love, so that we can fill this church. It should be our goal that this church is full, and that we are going to do everything we can through the power of Christ, of course, to fill this church. That we go out of these doors after Mass to proclaim the gospel, to bring Christ to the world, and to bring the world to Christ. To bring the people of the world to Christ. That should be our call. That should be the culture of our parish that we want to build. Not a parish culture that is inward and unwelcoming and doesn't share the faith. A culture of the parish that welcomes the stranger, welcomes those who haven't been here in a while, welcomes those who aren't even Catholic but might be searching. We welcome them. We want them to come in. We make them feel like they belong here. A culture of evangelizing where we are sharing our faith, living our faith, telling people about our faith, what we believe. A culture that ultimately is focused on Christ in the Eucharist. A culture that shares Christ and shows the world Christ in the Eucharist. That is the culture we need to be building in these parishes, in this parish especially. We need to build a culture that shares Christ. Because, you know, ultimately, sales are about spreading a message. And we have a greater message than anything the world can sell us. We have a message of great joy, that Christ loves us, that he wants us to come to him, that he wants us to have eternal life with him. That is a message that we should be shouting from the rooftops. Nothing in this world can compare with that message of salvation that he promises us, that he shares with us. May we truly be as prudent, shrewd, and enterprising as the steward. May we truly have that shrewdness, that enterprising nature, and lead ourselves and others